Salut Dom!
Ça a pas commencé.
Ça va?
Faites le podcast.
Ouais!
Cool!
Pas d'impro. Une discussion avec les artisans du spontané. Juste une discussion, pas d'impro. Idée originale de Frédéric Bambouchi, musique Dominique Hamel.
Hi! My name is Laura Doornmeet-Paris. I'm from Amsterdam, the Netherlands, where I teach and perform with many groups. And I guess the most important groups are Ohana, the Ferocious Four, and TVA Impro.
Hey, my name is Gaël Doornmeet-Paris. I'm from Strasbourg, playing mainly with Laura now. But back in my city, I am part of La Carpe Haute. And also of the international network Le Cine. Yeah, that's it.
So.
Hi.
Hey. Well, for starters, we'll be doing this podcast in English because, but you are French, Gaël.
I am.
But Laura, you're.
I'm Dutch.
You're
I'm
Dutch.
From the Netherlands.
Yeah. So. But English is not your first language.
No, it's not. No, Dutch is my first language. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I guess German will be third. So first Dutch, then English, then German, and then French.
French.
Yeah.
And I have, well, you've seen it.
I saw you play yesterday in French.
In my limited French, yeah.
But it's always a pleasure to see people trying to play in another language. I remember playing with the Italians, and I saw them play in Italian. They were talking like nonstop, but in French they were so physical, so in tune with the emotions, and you have to go to the essentials when you
yeah.
So how was it?
It was scary as hell. there was definitely a moment like 2 minutes before I stepped on stage where I was like, why did I do this? This is so dumb. but it was good that the festival actually encouraged me and Omar, who is also teaching here, to be part of French speaking shows. And I think it was that was good that they
absolutely
made
us. That was fun.
And and now you're learning French because you are married.
Yes.
When was it?
6 weeks ago.
Six weeks ago.
Laura is learning French and I'm.
Félicitations.
Thank you. Merci.
Merci.
Well, that's not that kind of podcast, so we won't get into your marriage. But but you met by improv.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. In festivals or?
Yeah, it was 2 years and a half ago at the Barcelona Improv Festival.
Big IF?
The Big IF, yeah, exactly. And Laura was teaching and I was performing there. And that's where we met. And then we've met a couple of extra times in other festivals in Amsterdam, in Greece.
And from the moment we were a couple, we also started traveling together to places, to festivals or to places that are willing to organize something with us. So it's really fun to be an improviser for such a long time, and now I'm in an improv marriage.
Improv marriage? Oh. Nice. But before you met, you were doing improv for how many years?
Yeah, I think I've been doing improv in total for 11 years. Then before that, I did a lot of theater and dance. And I started taking improv seriously like 7 or 8 years ago.
And then you started mostly in the Anglophone English.
I would say mostly Europe. That's where I started. Both Gaël and I are part of two different European improv networks. And what's really nice about that is that you get to know a lot of friends from different countries.
Mm-hmm.
So I started traveling to Switzerland, Portugal, Poland, and then teach how we do improv in the Netherlands in other countries.
Yeah.
And that's a really great way of sort of like expanding your teaching, expanding the different ways of how you can do improv.
Yeah. I like the fact that your marriage is doing also a marriage between networks. Because I'm trying to bridge that gap in North America. I'm trying to reach out to English speaking improv world, but we don't have a lot of countries to choose.
Yeah.
Because there's mostly English, Canada, and the States. But here you've got, and even though they are not English countries, usually they play in English when it's international.
Yeah. So what is happening in Europe is like there is more and more international festivals, and all those festivals, almost all those festivals, are mostly in bad English. So we bridged the gap, definitely being in a festival in Poland, between the Polish and the, for me, the French. We would like speak English, and the festival is in English, and more festivals are like that.
Yeah.
The good thing about Europe is that it's so small.
Mm-hmm.
It's a small scale compared to North America, for instance, that we can very easily travel to a festival to another. And now I think there are like at least a festival a week in Europe.
Yeah.
So
like in the States.
Sure.
Yeah.
And at first, you know, I thought like, oh, it would be so great if you're an English-speaking improviser from an English-speaking country, because then you have so many other theaters to go to, so many other improvisers to play with. But I think I'm embracing more and more the limitations of not speaking the exact same language in your native tongue.
Mm-hmm.
That's also a gift. It's also really cool to find out how it is to play with a Spanish improviser, how they use the English language, and where you get to together.
That's a quest of mine, to reach out beyond English and French, because there's usually I hear, oh yeah, Quebec, you invented improv. I say, well, the match, okay, and then the English is Johnstonian or Del Close, okay, and then you go, what's beyond that? Who started playing improv in Spain or Japan or
And especially because, for instance, in South America, improv is pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
Also, but they're not traveling a lot, and not a lot of people are traveling there. So it's also like a huge continent, an entire continent that is with a different improv history.
Yeah. I think they started the match.
They do,
and
kind of,
it
based
changed
on football.
Yeah.
So there is a lot in Colombia, for instance. They have a lot of match also, but it's based on football instead of ice hockey.
Yeah.
In Mexico, they have more catch.
Hockey.
Hockey,
because
but she's Dutch, and in the Netherlands, hockey is
you
like
say grass hockey?
Grass
no,
hockey.
We say hockey is on grass.
Yeah, well, so it depends where you are.
Totally.
If you're in Canada, you say hockey, it's on ice.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, it's super interesting, and that's what is great also by traveling. It's like discovering what are the specificities of the different improv communities, which is one of the most disappointing thing when you travel somewhere and they're just doing another Harold.
Yeah.
You're like, ah, it's such a beautiful Asian country with a super rich and different history, and you're playing American improv.
Yeah.
It's too bad.
Well, it went viral.
The
Chicago-based improv.
Yeah.
And, well, the same thing happened in a smaller scale with the match in Quebec and in French Europe.
Yeah.
So now we'll get into to what the purpose of this podcast is. And my quest is to find things I haven't done. I haven't done until now that I would like to do. No limits. No budget limit, no production limits. You can, let's dream. I like to dream about what I haven't done. And I've been doing this for almost 8-10 years. And I've done quite a few that I didn't think I would do. Like tomorrow, we're going to play a 45 people on the stage, and I haven't I never done that before. My record is 37, uh-huh. but 45 would be my new record.
Yeah.
But what do you want to do in the next 10 years, or what would you like to do, even though maybe it's impossible, like play in space or...
Oh, that could be cool, like without gravity.
Yeah.
So we have a pretty concrete and big project also that is traveling the world for a year. So mm-hmm. that's a pretty close and concrete project because it starts in August. So I will not say that.
No, but you can talk about it yeah. a bit. What do you want to do? 380 days around the world?
No. Something like that. Actually, like we were together for not that long. And I noticed like, oh, if I travel with him, I just feel like I'm bringing my home with me. And it was like, ah, oh. All this time people have been asking me because I traveled so much, as did you, individually, like, oh, when are you gonna do a world tour? When are you gonna go around the world? And I was like, no, that's not really my thing. But I realized like, oh, when I'm with you, I actually feel like I'm home and like I have a base. So that would be something. And I sort of set it as like a fun thing of like, oh, with you, I could see myself travel the world.
That is
anyway.
So sweet.
Yeah, it's so... Oh,
but you speak French and English. Do yeah. you speak another language?
No.
No.
I'm learning Dutch.
Dutch, okay.
I'm learning Dutch, but that's it.
Because with the two of you, you can... with.
No one speaks Dutch in any other place. So, no. like, there's no use for that language.
Yeah, I think English is our most yeah. useful language. And then in some countries, we'll need translators. In South America, there is a lot of... when English speakers are teaching in South America, they often have a translator that translates to Spanish or Portuguese.
Will you come to Montreal?
It's not on the list. North America is not. Yeah,
I know.
Because I could have a venue for you.
Interesting.
So the thing is, like, we're not prioritizing North America because it's easy to reach from yeah. Europe. When New Zealand is less easy to reach. Mm-hmm. But we also have a pretty open end of the tour. So we know that we will reach South America probably in May, mm-hmm. around that time. And we have 4 months. So maybe we will pop in North America too. Because we have a pretty big network in North America between Canada and the US. So yeah, that's not impossible yet. But if it's the case, it will be 2020.
Cool.
Yeah. Probably.
And so what's the next?
What's the dream?
Currently, so I'm working currently pretty intensively on Miyazaki.
Okay.
On an improvised play in the genre of Miyazaki, and I've developed a format with that.
For those who don't know Miyazaki, it's,
oh yeah, it's a Japanese director
from that did the Princess
Mononoke, Spirited Away, that is okay. also called Chihiro mm-hmm. in some translations. My Neighbor Totoro,
okay.
things like that. So it's
Google
an anime. Google it. Yeah, it's great. Watch them. And it's a very poetic and based on music and movements and image and pictures and taking time. And I really enjoy that. My dream would be to have a theater when I can develop also scenography, mm-hmm. Also work with a light technician and work with a live symphonic orchestra. So that would be my dream, to have like 20 musicians and a director to improvise with an orchestra the music that we see on stage. So far I'm using actual playlists and music
okay.
to tune that and to work with that live, to improvise the sound. But having an orchestra, that would rock.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess it would be great. But you're not the first that dreams of theatrical production, power, I guess, to perform improv. And that's I heard it a few times in the podcast where I would like to have 30 or 60 hours of lab to explore, and then do our show for 5 weeks, and then
yes, and the theaters that do that are, I love their like commitment to quality. So Det Andre Teatret from Oslo has that.
That's Garage,
Los Angeles Improv Theater. They just commit really hard in a way that you often see at really good theaters. Mm-hmm. Scripted plays, and not a lot of improv theaters want to and can try to achieve that. And the ones who do, I'm like walking around like just drooling, because I love. The nerds, the geekiness, the way they commit to art.
Yeah.
And do you have
a dream? Oh, it's in general, I love theatrical improv. So yes, improv where people are honestly thinking like, is this even improvised?
Yeah.
With the scenography and music and all that. We've been talking recently about if I could play any instrument, I would love to be able to DJ, to scratch into DJ. And the only person I know that does that in combination with improv is Sarah Michelson, DJ Mama Cutsworth. And how she does that is like just blowing my mind. I think there's like, I love musicians, but the way she can create magic on stage, I either want to sort of like have her or be her.
Yeah, she has like the reactivity and the freedom of a live musician, but with the range of possibilities of a DJ.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah. Crazy dreams.
Crazy dreams.
I don't know. Stuff that you you say, well, maybe not this decade, but why not?
I'm recently very fascinated by the topic of death.
Okay.
And so I would be super interested in how much can we push the boundaries of improv when it comes to death.
Yeah.
Can we do improv, like meaningful improv sets at funerals?
I know that there are shows on... there's a show, it's written in Montreal. That's called On va tous mourir, We're all gonna die, and it's sketch shows on death, and I didn't see it, but it's just got out. So it's a topic that I know, I heard that some people do it, and they also play around the spectre,
spectrum,
ghosts.
Of the people who were in their lives.
I would love that. Cool. I think because it's such a sensitive topic to so many people, it makes it very difficult, and therefore I want to see if we can go there.
And never come back.
I never came. Yes.
Yeah.
Any dreams? Crazy?
Crazy dreams, I don't know.
Crazy dreams.
It's difficult, hey?
Like playing in in a big pool, a translucent pool
underwater. Wow, that's cool. that's pretty cool. It goes with the no gravity show.
Yeah
There's no breathing also.
I'm pretty down to earth, I think. Apparently I didn't think so, but what I would love to do. Also, it's also linked to Miyazaki, but it's like mix improv and different type of arts. So for the Miyazaki, I've worked on shadow play and live shadow playing.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Cutting the shadows live to play with the shadows. But in a more, in a bigger picture, like having a lot of interactions with different arts. To bring together, I don't know, a watercolor and improv.
Yeah.
To create, I want to
with
make
projections
my,
or
maybe projections, maybe I don't know. It can take different aspects. It's more like my aim currently is to make my improv more beautiful, more poetic, And for that, I have the feeling that if we can get the help from other disciplines, it can create something very different. Something that matters, something that,
what if
it's
you can,
not
like,
just comedy.
Watercolor in your scene, right? Like, not just as like a separate thing, but
like Mary Poppins.
Yes, like Mary Poppins. Yes, okay.
Well, I want Mary Poppins. I want to be Mary Poppins.
Damn it, I just want to be Sarah Michelson.
Yeah, too bad.
We could do it.
Right?
I was wondering, you traveled a lot, so is there a show or shows that you've seen that you said to yourself, this shit is wonderful?
Huh.
Maybe not in those words, but you've blown away by something, or just not maybe not the whole show, but
some parts,
some aspects, or
we were at Dad's Garage.
That's in Atlanta.
In Atlanta, and we saw a scripted show in Dad's Garage called Black Nerd, and that show explored, it was based on the writer's John Carr, I think, John Carr's own experience of being a black man interested in
nerd pop culture.
Nerd pop culture, like Star Wars.
Like Star Wars.
Like Comic-Con and stuff like that, and like this paradox of not being black enough for his black community because he was a nerd, but still being black in his nerd community, so not being a real nerd. And exploring this racial, racist environment.
Yeah.
And it was so well done, and there was one particular scene that made us both beautifully uncomfortable. Like, literally, like, I was holding my seat and sort of like pushing myself in the back of my seat, going like, can I just disappear through this, through the back of this seat? And that was a long time ago that I had such a visceral response to a show where I'm like, oh, I'm uncomfortable, can I go? And it was so well done. I wish I can see an improv show that also does that to me.
Did you ever wonder, ask yourself if you could do a show about womanhood? Like, I know that the reality of women is pretty different. You could get this vibe from a show axed on.
Yeah, I do.
You do?
Of course. Yeah. Yes. So I started directing a show called The Ferocious Four. And it's an improvised action movie with a no male cast. So we play with a female, non-binary, trans.
Okay, that's why it's no man. I was wondering, why do you say no man and only women? But
just not men. Everyone else is invited to play.
Turtles.
And it's really like the main. What's main? But the thing I try with that show is to basically just, you put a bunch of female improvisers in a room, you let them do cool stuff because it's an improvised action movie, and it's just magic happens.
Sure.
And I've been teaching more and more to groups that include no men, and that's, I can really recommend it. You just put them in a room, and that's often enough. Stuff happens. Because it's a different dynamic, there's a different safety. And it's a very interesting process. Like, if you want to make a point on stage, just like with any other point you want to make, all the improvisers need to be on the same page of the types of points you want to make. And that includes a lot of talking with the group. It includes a lot of like, what do we as a group believe in? Because if you know what as a group you believe in, you can start doing the first steps into getting that point across on stage. So one of the things that we at some point at the beginning of our group said to each other, like, wait, we keep endowing each other with male partners or with either like male bosses. We're like, we don't need to do that.
No, absolutely not.
We can
not.
Like, oh, this is just like, you know, 20, 30 years of get society telling you that that's the normal. Okay, so how about we just try to endow all of our characters as women? Will that change the story? As it turns out, it does not.
It's for sure.
Yeah, and that's those were like the first steps into, oh, wait, let's all agree on that. Okay, great. But then there are also within my group differences in like how strongly feminist you want to make your improv. Yeah. And we can only make a point, in our case, a feminist point, as much as the group wants to.
Yeah. But just by playing a show only with women, it's a statement.
Totally. Yeah, people get it as a statement. And then
and it's
a show
even
with just
though,
men.
It's, yeah.
Yeah. It's
but
not a statement.
I've talked about it a few times, but I've done an experimentation about only one woman, four men. And then I did
the other way,
and we're still doing the show for women, one man, because this one is, and the man is only an accessory, so he does whatever needs to be done, like role reversing, like you're gonna play the father this time, you're gonna play the brother, you're gonna be the sidekick.
Yeah.
To everything, if there's need to be, but everything is started with by women, and most of the scene don't really need a man, so the guy just comes in from time to time. But I realized that this show needs to be played more and more until it will be the norm.
Until it will not be a point anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's why we need to organize those shows so much more, so to like slowly start balancing out. It's not that the other type of show is not also interesting, it's just we see it all the time.
Yeah.
So let's organize
a bunch of guys going around say, hey, what's up, everybody?
I mean, I can't wait for the time when someone's like, oh my god, I got this unique idea. Let's have five men. And everyone's like, oh, I haven't seen that in a long time. I mean, I can't wait for that time.
Yeah.
But we're going in the right direction. And as long as we keep encouraging each other to go like, this was awesome. To see. And also, let's make more all-female or mainly female shows not about womanhood. You know,
absolutely.
We can talk about other things.
Yeah, but that's the great part of your show is action movie.
Yes.
It's just doing.
It's super fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's also something that you know, both men and women need to unlearn, to not make. It's like, I'm sure, have you heard of the Bechdel test?
Nope.
And the Bechdel test is something that they use to mark movies. And the Bechdel test are there two female characters together in a scene not talking
about a man?
And I think like 80 or 90% of Hollywood movies don't pass that test. And when you it's like, that does not seem too weird. Like two women talking about something else than a man. Newsflash, that happens in real life all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. And yet in storytelling, we tend to not do that. But it's something that when I work with that in workshops, that we don't even know how to do it, because there's so many stories that come to us that show if two women are in the scene, they probably should talk about a man.
But we're waking up as
Definitely. And I think they're like on different minorities now start owning that also. Blackout, that played at Impro Amsterdam, is a good example of their show is called Swag Hats, and it's an all-black cast, and it's basically sharing stories about a topic charged with their own history, experience in that, and then play a bunch of scenes inspired by those stories. But the meat of that show for me is the actual conversations they have, the actual stories they tell, because that's what has an impact on the on the crowd, on the audience. And there are more and more shows also that are like, yeah, diversifying what we see.
And with that, diversifying the stories we have, the type of narration, the type of characters, it's sort of like it's enriching all of us. Yeah. It's not like taking away time or attention from an overpresented group. It's sort of like, look, what else is there? Isn't it great that in your cast with the four women and the one man, that man gets to have that experience of like, how is it to be the waiter?
The greatest experience.
Yes.
I was so I was so glad to do it. I was just to be there and see the women playing and seeing there, glimpsing, and just asking for, can you come? Okay, I will do it. And everybody should experience that.
Yeah, definitely.
And
it's at the same time, the moment I see female improvisers suddenly like be the hero and make the heroic last move, they're like, oh my god, I've done this. Oh, you know, it's super exciting if we all get to like.
Yeah, we gotta normalize it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then we can choose what we do. Instead of being determined for what we do. Like, on the other side, I think it's important to work with men about that topic too. And I developed a workshop for men on modern masculinity or modern manhood. To have the other side of the coin and be like, oh, you know, we're not supposed in society to cry, to feel, to be in love, to feel ourselves vulnerable. How can we learn that? How can we teach ourselves to accept all that, play with that on stage, and just be normal on stage with the full range of the possibilities instead of always being manly on stage.
Manly male,
exactly. and it's a work that is very interesting because it's as soon as you start looking for those little things, you can see them everywhere all the time. And I have the tendency to mention it in most of my workshops, even yesterday in the Miyazaki, even if it's not a topic at all. But there was like a situation where there was this man in a group with other women, and he happened to be always the center of the attention with a lot of support from his fellow player.
Yeah.
And it's very interesting to see the dynamics of those groups that are not even meant to be like that, but that are just because the society is like that for such a long time, everybody is kind of in that mode anyway.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting to work on it and to work on it.
Just by talking about it.
It's already a good start. Yeah.
Maybe that's our crazy dream.
Yeah. But maybe this podcast will be listened by dozens of people. So, that's a start.
Hey, if all those people start spreading whatever words, I'm not. Here's like, it's also just improv, right? Like, and thank God that when I teach, I have some sort of influence. I have some sort of role where people listen to what I say, and I'm like, all right. Considering that power, same with performing. Considering I can make whatever choice I want, I don't have a director. I'm my own director. Which choice do I want to make? What do I want to show? And maybe a female firefighter is the thing that I actually would like to have more on stage. So why not?
Why not just play a firefighter, like not a man or a female, but just being that hero at that moment.
True. Here's the thing. I agree, and I play with a lot of people that if I don't identify myself as a female firefighter,
sure.
Will identify myself as a male. So true. In a perfect world, that's true. I would love it.
I know.
Like, more like.
I really understand what you're saying. Yeah.
Already saying firefighter is a point compared to fireman.
Yeah.
And in French, we have a lot of troubles with that.
Pompier, ouais.
Yeah, so but like the base words for most of those work are masculine.
Yeah.
And because we have such a gendered language, it's also even more difficult than in English to neutralize that, because there is no, we can say pompier, we can say pompière, there is no way to say the neutral
et pompier
base. Yeah, maybe. Should invent all those words.
Oh, so right. Like,
policier, policière, policieux, okay.
Yeah, that's, well, just stay open and and reach out.
Be patient.
No, I love talking about this stuff. Talk about it all day.
Yeah.
So we'll get back to later.
Yes,
and we'll
yeah.
continue. But I think we gotta go back to our our workshops. So thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And it will be online soon.
Yeah. Cool. And if you are directing a philharmonic orchestra,
yeah,
reach me.
Yeah,
we can organize.
Gael Perry.
Gael Donovert Perry now.
Oh, you know that in Canada it's illegal to take the your husband or wife's name.
Oh.
Well, not illegal, but it's stated while the in the ceremony you cannot take your spouse's name.
Huh.
You keep your name.
For women too, or just
yeah,
men?
For both. Okay. For both.
Oh, that's good.
Okay.
Yeah. That's
okay. Yeah. So have a nice trip.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And that's it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Pat.
Pas d'impro est une présentation des productions de l'Instable, une compagnie de création dont la mission est de présenter des spectacles de théâtre improvisé et de réfléchir sur la création spontanée. Pour plus d'informations sur nos spectacles en salle, nos formations et notre direction artistique, rendez-vous au www.prodinstable.com.
Oh my God, didn't record. No,
sorry.
so...